This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wa la huba. Last week we talked about the hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith Abdullah ibn Umar, in regard to isbalul izar, when a person will make his garment longer and beyond his or his ankle. And we said this rules for men, and ulama rahimahumullah, between two or three positions. Some said, or two main opinions, one said it's haram, absolutely not allowed for any garment to go beyond the ankles. And we said that the majority of the fuqaha said it's only haram if it is out of arrogance. But as long as it is not arrogance, it is just dislike, makruh. It's not haram, but it is makruh, dislike. And we discussed the opinions and the evidence, and al-ulama rahimahullah said that most of the ahadith that spoke about that those who will drag their garment out of arrogance. And also Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that you don't, when he's complained that his garment goes down and drag, go beyond the ankle, he said you don't do that out of arrogance. So it shows you that the point of making this forbidden is it's being a form of arrogance or basically people doing it out of arrogance. The group scholars who said it's haram regardless, they said just having it beyond the ankle, it's a form of arrogance. It doesn't matter what you feel. They said it is part of arrogance. But I really don't think that, because many people who wear their clothes, sometimes our pants, I try my best, especially sometimes hard when you buy new ones, but I try my best not to make my clothes always beyond my ankle. But sometimes it does, and many people do. And when you wear it, you don't have any feeling in your heart that, you know what, I'm arrogant, I'm above people, I'm better than people. And it's not really the reality of it. To say that any person who have his clothes beyond their ankles, it is a form of arrogance, it's kind of contradict the reality, okay? And also, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the isbalul izar min al-makhyalah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that making the garment go beyond your ankle, part of al-khuyala, part of arrogance. But yeah, that's based on the culture at that time. You know, it was part of the culture that, the people who always wear long garment that go beyond the ankles are the leaders, the elites, the leader of tribes. And I was raised in a society where it's a tribal society. And still, in this, where I grow up, okay, in Saudi Arabia and in the Gulf area, it means a lot when you wear your bisht, and the bisht has to be long and drag. This is like ubaha. This is like, you know, wow, this is like, you feel like kind of filled with pride. And they will make fun of you if your clothes is, if you don't have it like touching the ground. Oh, this is like, as if you're less. Yeah, but that's not the case in pants, not the case of people who are wearing pants or wearing, you know, like in Malaysia and in Indonesia, in Yemen, sometimes they wear like a lower garment, you know, around like similar to the one that you wear in Hajj. Next hadith. And we said women are not included in this hadith. This is only for men. Women, Nabi Sallam encouraged them to wear long clothes that cover their feet, actually. The next hadith, عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إذا أكل أحدكم فليأكل بيمينه وإذا شرب فليشرب بيمينه فإن الشيطان يأكل بشماله ويشرب بشماله أخرجه مسلم. Ibn Umar narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when one of you eats, he or they should eat with their right hand. And when they drink, they should drink with their right hand. Because for the devil eats and drinks with his left hand. Related by Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala. This hadith in Muslim, and there is another riwayah in Muslim wherein Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, see in this hadith that we just read, he said, eat with your right hand, drink with your right hand, because the shaitan eats and drink with his left hand. There is another hadith said, eat with your right hand and don't eat with your left hand. Not just order and forbidden. قَالْ لَا يَأْكُلَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ بِشِمَالِ وَلَا يَشْرَبَنَّ بِهَا. Do not eat with your left hand, do not drink with your left hand. وَكَانَ نَافِعْ يَزِيدْ فِيهَا وَلَا يَأْخُذُ بِهَا وَلَا يُعْطِي. Nafi' added to the narration, and you should not give or take with the left hand. Nafi' is the successor, tabi'i. طيب, it's not the companion, the tabi'i. And this hadith reported by Tirmidhi without this additions of Nafi' rahimahullah ta'ala. But this addition of Nafi' is it's in Sahih Muslim. Is it from the Prophet ﷺ or from Nafi'? Is it Nafi', his understanding, or it is something from the Prophet ﷺ? It seems to be it is from the Prophet ﷺ. Why? Because there is another narration in Imam Ahmad from Abu Huraira, not Ibn Umar, from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet ﷺ said, لِيَأْكُلْ أَحَدُكُمْ بِيَمِينِهِ وَلْيَشْرَبْ بِيَمِينِهِ وَلْيُعْطِ بِيَمِينِهِ وَلْيَأْخُذْ بِيَمِينِهِ. You eat, you drink, you take, you give with your right hand. فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ, because a shaytan eats and drinks and gives and takes with his left hand. Reported by Imam Ahmad ibn Majah. So here, very clear that this statement of Nafi', it is something that goes alongside with what the Prophet ﷺ said in the al. Even if it is an explanation, it's something that the Prophet ﷺ 100% said in Hadith Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. Basically, there is no. It's clear there is no words need really to be explained. فَلْيَأْكُلْ بِيَمِينِهِ, let him eat with his right hand. Let him or her, let them eat and drink with the order from the Prophet ﷺ. And it even make it clear the other narration, do not eat with the left, do not drink with the left. It's so clear that this is an order from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now we study the issues and the masail and fawaid we take from the hadith. Number one, this hadith is very explicit, very clear, ordering us to eat and drink with the right hand and not to eat and drink with the left hand. Okay? So this is very, very clear. But the ulama rahimahumullah said that clear. But what is not clear for the scholars is this. Is this order means it is obligatory? You will be sinful if you eat with your left hand, if you drink with the left hand? Or it is just a recommended act to eat and drink with your right hand? Is it must or recommended? Is it forbidden or just dislike? That's where al-ulama rahimahumullah split. Okay? So the first opinion, which is a lot of the fuqaha, Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi'i, Hanbali, they said, the majority actually of the fuqaha said, that eating and drinking with the right hand, min al-mustahabbat, among the recommended act. And eating and drinking with the left hand, among what? The dislike act, makruh, but it's not a sin. You're not committed a sin by doing that. Why? Qalu, because this is from al-adab. You remember we mentioned Ibn Abdul Barr said before many times. Al-ulama rahimahullah said, usually the ahadith that speaks about etiquettes and the mannerism of eating, the mannerism of walking, the mannerism of talking is all about, you know, recommended act, not obligatory act, okay? So they said that's going the same line. Like what we said about don't walk with one shoes, you know? Then almost, the ulama almost agree that this is not haram, but it is highly disliked, okay? Vast majority of them. The second opinion said, no, it is absolutely haram to eat and drink with your left hand. And that's an opinion among the Hanabila, rahimahullah ta'ala. And that's what Ibn Hazm also supported. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim, they said that it is haram and is not allowed. And many scholars of Ahlul Hadith, like Al-Hafidh ibn Abd al-Barr al-Maliki, rahimahullah, as Ibn Miflih mentioned in Adab al-Shar'iyyah, he said that Ibn Abd al-Barr said that. But I found Ibn Abd al-Barr, rahimahullah, in his book Al-Istidkar, mentioned it is only dislike. And I found Ibn Abd al-Barr in other places, he said that it is recommended to eat and drink with the right hand, not wajib. So, but also I found some ulama quoted him or claimed that he said it is haram. But what I see in many references and some of his book directly, it is not so. Allah knows yani best. He might said once haram and once makruh, maybe he himself not subtle in one of the opinions. Because also in some of his books he said haram. So we don't know which one comes later, really. Al-Imam ibn al-Arabi al-Maliki also said it's haram. Taqiyuddin al-Subki al-Shafi'i said it's haram. Zain al-Din al-Iraqi, a great Shafi'i scholar, also said it's haram. Ibn Hajar al-Shafi'i said it's haram. Al-Amir al-San'ani, fi Subul al-Salam, lean towards that it is forbidden. And they have plenty of evidence to say it is not makruh, this is just not an etiquette. This is rules, a very specific rule, that it's haram to eat, to drink with your left hand. What's the evidence that they have, beside the hadith we mentioned? They said, first, Innabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never in his lifetime, ever, ate or drank with his left hand. And when he sees someone doing that, he will stop them from doing this. And Amr ibn Abi Salama said, I was an orphan, and I was sitting with the Prophet ﷺ. I was a kid. قَالَ فَكَانَتْ يَدِي تَطِيشُ فِي الصَّحْفَةِ. I was like eating from all over the plate. So Nabi ﷺ held his hand, because he was reaching to the middle, held his hand, he said, يَا غُلَامُ سَمِّ اللَّهِ سِي بِسْمِ اللَّهِ وَكُلْ بِيَمِينِكْ eat with your right hand, وَكُلْ مِمَّا يَلِيكْ eat from what is in front of you. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. طبعا, this hadith is a problematic. Can anybody tell me why? Yani it's not a very good argument, this hadith. Because everyone across the board will agree that كل مما يليك ليس واجبا. Everybody will agree that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, eat from what is in front of you, is not wajib. And it's not a sin if I, you know, reach out to my neighbor, you know, and eat in front of him. So that's recommended, that's adab. So really to say, oh, kul bi yaminik, this part of the wajib, but the next one, which is the same format, wa kul mimma yaleek, the same order came in the same hadith. You cannot say this one is wajib and this one, like it's not very good argument. Also, they said hadith Jabir radiallahu anhu, لا تأكلوا بالشمال. Do not eat with your left hand. He forbid. And he said, الشيطان eats with his left hand. And no doubt that imitating the shaitan is haram. Because imitating the kuffar is haram. يعني a non-Muslim who does something very specific for them or for him, let's say, it's not allowed for a Muslim, for example, as a Muslim, I'm not allowed for a Muslim woman to wear the nun clothes. I'm not allowed as a Muslim to wear what? To wear the Catholic priest collar. For a Muslim to wear the hamaka. Is that what you call it? Yamaka. Of the Jews. You can't do that. So there's not allowed for a Muslim to wear because it's something specific for them. So if this is specific for the shaitan that he eats and drinks, so we're not allowed to imitate him as well. That's why Ibn Abd al-Barr said specifically about this hadith, he said, قَدْ عَصَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, he disobeyed Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, the strongest evidence that they have to say it's haram is the following hadith, which is in Sahih Muslim, hadith Sana ibn al-Akwa, that he said, أَنَّ رَجُلٍ أَكَلَ عِنْدَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, was eating with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was eating with his left hand. So the Nabi said, قَالْ لَهُ كُلْ بِيَمِينِكَ, eat with your right hand. So the man said, لَا أَسْتَطِيَ مَا مَنَعَهُ إِلَّا الْكِبْرِ, I can't. The narrator said, the only reason he said, I can't, because he was arrogant. I'm not going to listen to you. You're not going to tell me what to eat, how to eat. So in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لَا أَسْتَطَعْت, inshallah, you never be able to. And all of a sudden, قَالَ فَشُلَّتْ يَدُهُ فَمَا رَفَعَهَا إِلَى فِيهِ, his hand freeze, paralyzed. He couldn't lift his hand up to eat. Can anyone of you guys tell me how this hadith shows that eating with the right hand is wajib? The punishment. But before the punishment was the result of dua. Wouldn't Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam make dua against someone who did makruh? No. Yani he will make dua that Allah paralyze him fi dun makruh. He must did haram, that he deserved that type of punishment, that type of dua. That's right. It's not going to be dua over something just recommended act. That's their strongest argument, one of the strongest arguments that they have. But how the Jumhur answer this? Like if you are in the other camp, what would you say about this hadith? That's a very strong argument. The Prophet, I know we have sisters, you guys, if you guys want to participate, you're more than welcome to. But you need to come maybe closer. Ya salam. الدُّعَاء كان بسبب الكبر للأكل بالشمال قال. They said the sin that he did was not eating with left hand. The sin was the arrogance. That's why he made the dua against him. So it has nothing to do with left and right. It has to do with the attitude. Okay? Also, they said no, but the hadith in the beginning, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Kul bi yaminik, eat with your right hand. And that's an order. قالوا, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam multiple times said, eat with your right hand, eat with your right hand. هذا الأمر لا يصرف عن الوجوب صارف. They said, we couldn't find any other hadith or narration telling us otherwise. So we should keep it as it is, as wajib. Okay? العلماء رحمه الله answer this. There is a very famous Hanafi scholar, Ibn James, said, not because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam all his life was eating with right and left, and eating right hand and drinking with right hand, and there is no proof that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam allowed or approved or somehow justify eating with the left hand. It doesn't mean that to make this wajib. He said, that's not right. For instance, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam all his life, used to comb his hair, يُسَرَّحْ شَعْرَ, and he braided his hair on the right side first. And we never heard that the Nabi said, don't start with the right, or give permission to do the left. All his life, nobody ever said it's wajib. So the same, if you can understand that this is not wajib, why can't you understand that the eating is not wajib as well? He said, in Nabi Sallam always liked to start with the right hand side, not the left. But this is recommended act. So the issue of the Prophet continuously doing this is not really a proof. said that this order, it does not tell us it's wajib. Why? Because we have a general rules. We understood from all the ahkam and all the ahadith that the ahadith that talk about al-adab, talk about etiquettes and stuff like that, are not wajib unless there is a very clear qareena, there is very clear evidence that telling us that this is haram or wajib. Qareena or evidence, like what? Like in Nabi said, Allah curse. Will not enter Jannah. Someone cut his ties. You might cut ties, this etiquette. Adab. No, now there is something in the hadith shows you just not an order. It's a sin. There is a punishment for it specified. So that's why al-ulama rahimahullah said, usually any order related to the adab and fada'il and stuff like that, it is recommended unless there is a very clear evidence that it is not just recommended. وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. It's an order, but it doesn't mean it's wajib. And he gave an example also like الاستنجاء باليمين, and we talked about this before. Like when you, for example, holding your private part with your right hand. And Nabi said, don't. Okay? So they said, but nobody said it's haram. It's not a sin. Just recommended. They said, but what about imitating the shaitan? Isn't imitating shaitan haram? We said, it could be and it could be not. The ulama, the jumhur said, how? They said, it depends on the way the hadith is narrated. And they give an example. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قيلوا فإن الشياطين لا تقيل. What's قيلوا? The nap in the midday, which is what? Siesta. Okay. You know, the nap in the midday, which is take place before dhuhr. Okay. From the in the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, take place before dhuhr. So, قِيلُوا فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطِينَ لَا تَقِيلُ. Do not be like the shayateen. He order us نُخَالِفِ الشَّيْطَانِ and to have siesta. مَا قَالْ أَحَدْ فِي الْوُجُودِ أَنَّ الْقَيْلُولَ واجب وَالْمُخَالَفَةِ الشَّيْطَانِ واجب وَأَنَّ عَدَمِ الْقَيْلُولَ فِيهَا مُشَابَهَ لِلشَّيْطَانِ فَهِيَ حَرَامٌ. Nobody ever said that not taking a nap before dhuhr or in the midday is haram. And that's imitating the shaitan. You see how the fuqaha rahimahullah said, so that's not true that it means just imitating the shaitan, it means it's haram. That's not correct. Okay? So this is what al-ulama rahimahullah ta'ala said. I will tell you, I feel like my personal choice between the ulama, I lean towards it is forbidden, it is haram. أنا أميل إلى القول بالحرمة. Looking at the way the number of the ahadith is stating that it is haram and don't do it with the right hand, ordering him, صلى الله عليه وسلم, the people to do that and caring for that, in my opinion, that's very clear that it is something that the Nabi want us to adhere to. But this been said, al-wajibat darajat, levels, and the muharramat levels. So this wajib will be like, see, you have recommended acts above each other. Then at one point you go to the wajibat. So if you said recommended, it will be on the top of the recommendation. Let's say there is a gray area between what is recommended and what is wajib. This issue fell there. So sometimes some ulama will look at it and say it's wajib, sometimes it is recommended. Because it's really in that gray area. So if it is wajib, it's not one of the greatest wajibat, is one of the lowest level of wajibat. And if we say it's recommended, one of the highest level of recommendations. If we said it's haram, it will be one of the lower level of muharram. And if we said makruh, one of the most severe makruh. Because they are levels. Is that concept clear? That's right. Muharramat are not on the same level. There are many different, various levels. So that's why, in my opinion, always this issue, like really, same thing with the isbal, is just in that area. You know, there is always like the gray area where you really can't 100% to be definitive about your position. So sometimes يميل القلب إلى هذا, sometimes يميل القلب إلى ذلك, because the evidence in both sides are very strong, as you heard me saying the debate between the ulama رحمه الله تعالى. قال النووي رحمه الله إذا وجد عذر يمنع من الأكل باليمين فباتفاق العلماء يجوز بالشمال. If there is an excuse for you not able to use your right hand, so the ulama agreed that you can use what? Your left hand. You have cast in your right hand. Okay? You carrying your child and you cannot switch. Whatever is the case, you can't eat with your right hand. Wound or something like that. Dirty. طيب. What about eating with both hands, drinking with both hands? Eating is kind of like you hold the sandwich with both hands and you bite. What do you think, Muhammad? You use both hands like this. What do you think? Is this called he drink with his left hand? Not really. But do you say that he drink with his right hand? Not really. فقال النووي رحمه الله قال تشوبه شائبتان. النووي رحمه الله said it has from both sides. He used the right and he used the left. So where were we to go? طيب. And I don't believe that it is haram or forbidden or makruh or anything. Why? لأن ما هي علة الكراهة أو التحريم? What's the reasoning, Abu Walid? What's the reasoning behind saying don't eat and drink with your left hand? Shaytan. Is shaytan drinks with both hands? No. So drinks with one hand, there's no imitation. So that became excluded. Make sense? So that's why we said it's okay. It is permissible to do that. Even Nawawi rahimahullah tried to bring evidence that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at one point he drank using both hands. Kind of hard, but he said that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank from qirba mu'allaqa, a skin water that's hanging. And when you open the skin water, you can't hold it. He said, ghalibul ada, the custom, you don't hold it with one hand. You have to hold it with both hands like this, then you open it and you drink. So he said, yes, the narrator never described that he was holding with both hands, but he said there is no one drink from it unless he used both hands. That's the norm. Okay? قال يفهم هذا رحمه الله تعالى. Anyway, also. There is another hadith which is in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave Abu Hurairah qadah. Al qadah, it is a big container like this. Question: do you think you can hold this with one hand and drink from it? So, most likely, when he drank from al qadah, he was using both hands. And that's another evidence to show you. That it is. That's why in the hadith, قَالَ فَوَضَعَ الْقَدَحَ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ. He held the qadah with both hands. It's like a big ball. Okay? Also, there is another hadith in Bukhari Muslim. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, شرب من زمزم قال شرب من دلو وهو واقف. الدلو اللي هو ايش؟ السطل. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من زمزم, what he did, they threw down this bucket, he sent it down, put water in it, then the bucket. Can you drink from the bucket with the other hand? You have both hands. So that's another evidence that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam also used both hands to drink from it. The left-handed still can eat with the right. Absolutely. Anybody left here? Left-handed? Anyone left-handed? I have many friends left-handed, and they eat. One of my sons is left-handed. He uses left hand a lot, and he eats and drinks with the right hand. It comes to food and drink. I ask these questions tens of people. I'm not going to say hundreds, maybe hundreds of times, but tens of people. And I never heard a single one of them said, because he's a left-handed, means there is any difficulty to eat and drink with the right. Maybe they are programmed, but if you train them from the beginning when they are young to eat with the right hand, it became normal. But holding, when your right hand a sandwich and holding in your left hand a drink, is not an excuse for you to drink with the left hand. Because you can put it down and put your sandwich and switch. To follow the etiquette and to have the fork and the knife, and you have to have the knife with the right hand to cut, then you eat with the left with the fork, is not an excuse for you to khalif al-sunnah. Even if we say this, ya akhi makruh. Muslim should not, you know, be easy, and especially when you know it is one of the highest level of makruh. Now, you know what? It's hard to cut with the left. Like, it's very hard. I try sometimes, it's hard. So you cut with the right with the knife, unless you are left-handed. And left-handed would be lucky in this case. So you cut with the right hand, then you put the knife down, you switch, then you eat. What's so big deal? Somebody said, oh my God, you want me to put the sandwich and to put the switch? Yahi, do it for Allah. Do it for the reward. For God, it's not haram. But you missing the reward. Is it not worth it in the day of judgment? To get this as a reward and following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ? And some people like, wow, if in my opinion, the shaitan comes put this in our mind, and make that effort equal to the karaha, equal to the reward that you get. And yeah, that person does not really see the importance of ibadat wa ta'at and the reward that the person get, just because it's so hard to switch. What about using that straws? I'm not drinking, I'm just holding it, okay, and sucking with the straw with the left hand. Same thing, you hold it with the right hand, okay. أخاف لو قلت هذه يقولوا الشيخ مصخ اليوم. I'm worried if I say this, you're gonna say, oh, Sheikh Waleed is really pushing it. When I go eat from the fountain, the water fountain, I purposely making sure I push the button with the right hand. And I feel that closer to the sunnah. And I ask myself, if the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was here, would he use his right hand or left hand? Because shariba bi yamin, he drank basically from his right hand. So that's what caused the way basically to consume. But it's okay, I didn't fall for the fountain. We said before that always Sharia put the right hand to be used in the things which is more honorable, more, you know, good and purifying you. And no doubt eating is something from ni'amillah, one of the blessings of Allah. That's why you deal with it with the right hand. Left hand is to, you know, wipe the filth. Left hand is to blow your nose. But something like not very, you know, honorable. But something like food and drink, no, it should be honored and basically use the right hand for it. And Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, said, هذا فيه شكر للنعمة. It shows appreciation to the ni'mah, that you're treating food and drinks in a special way. Versus if you eat with your left, this doesn't show really an honoring for this blessing. Also, this hadith tells us something about the shaitan, that he eats and he drinks. That the shaitan eats and drinks, because the jinn eats and drinks, and the shaitan is the father of the jinn. Okay, according to many of the ulama, like Ibn Malik and others, he's the father of all jinn. So basically, we know something about them, that they eat and they drink. How? We don't know. How they eat and they drink, we don't know. I'll give you an interesting story. Somebody tried to act smart. And I hate those who are trying to act smart with the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they're really dumb when they do that. So he told me, you guys saying the jinn eats bones and eats things, you say Bismillah. He said, okay, I'm going to say Bismillah, and I'm going to have the bones, and I'm putting a camera on it, I'm going to put it in the trash, I'm going to watch it to see the jinn going to eat it or not. He said, nothing happened. You know, my home, nobody ate. I said, maybe your food is stink. Jinn don't like your food. And who said that the jinn will eat every food? And from where you got that? That the jinn will eat every single bone? They eat bone, but doesn't mean eat yours. Maybe it's not, maybe your food is not cooked good. I said, no, Sheikh, I'm serious. I said, I'm also serious. And who told you that the way the jinn eats, it's like the way we eat? Have you ever seen the fly? Have you ever seen bacteria? Have you ever seen so many of Allah's creation? They feed on things, and you don't see it when the fly fall on a bone or a meat. That doesn't go away, doesn't disappear. They take the nutrition out of it. If this is one of Allah's creation, why you have to act smart and you just, you judge Allah and His creation according to your standard? He said, that's a good point. He said, I know. But the point is not a good point or not. The point is, you should submit. يا ابن أخي إذا حدثتك عن رسول الله فلا تضرب له الأمثال. When you hear the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Huraira said, my friend, when I tell you the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said such and such, don't try to give me these examples and scenarios and to prove the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wrong. اتهم الرأي على الدين يقول عمر. Accuse your opinion that it is wrong. Don't accuse the hadith. Don't accuse the Quran that it is wrong. It is you the one who is wrong. Go ahead. Similar to this, somebody yesterday in my class in the main center raised the issue of Ya'juj wa Ma'juj and said, how come there will be Ya'juj wa Ma'juj in the face of this earth and nobody can see them? You know, millions of people are in somewhere in the earth and nobody knows where they are. He said, logically, it's impossible. I said, okay, first of all, who told you that there is millions of them? Where do you get that from? And you trying to be smart? You're not. You think you're intelligent, intellectual? You're not. Where do you get that from? That there are millions of them or whatever numbers that you imagine. Oh, in the end of the day, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah that there will be 1,000 from, 999 from Ya'juj wa Ma'juj and one from the rest of the humanity. 999 go to hellfire and one from the rest of it will survive. So that means they are a huge number. The percentage of their number to humanity, to the believer, is like 1 to 1,000. And they will come and drink the whole river, blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, but all this when? In the end of the days. But there is no evidence that there are millions now. That's your idea. And you start judging the Quran, the Sunnah, according to your right. Maybe there is a few hundreds of them. Somewhere. Maybe there is a few thousand. I don't know. So why would you make your own understanding a judge over the Quran and Sunnah? And based on your understanding, you start rejecting the Quran and Sunnah. And rejecting the ahadith or the appearance of the ahadith. Zawahir al-Nusus al-Shara'i. So sometimes people, think that today too smart for the Sharia, but the reality are not. ما في مثل التسليم للنص. Nothing like آمنا به كل من عند ربنا. We believe in what Allah said. And you stop there. This hadith, العلماء said, this is one of the evidence that is not allowed to imitate the kuffar in their the area where it is very, it's tashammub al-kuffar levels. Any imitation for something that is very specific to them, very specific, nobody else do it except them, it's haram. That certain dress, like I said, the collar for priest, for example, the yarmulke for the Jews, or the nuns' clothes. Muslim are not allowed to wear that. Muslim man not allowed to wear that. Let's say there is a certain type of dress that only non-Muslim wear, we're not allowed to wear. Or there is a one non-Muslim guy have a certain type of dress, became very well known for it, Muslims should not imitate that. Okay? Today, we don't have any, we have a very mixed culture. But anything has to do with their religion, which is not from our religion, we're not allowed to do that. Yani, no, our woman said, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa shukru ya arham ar-rahimi. Except like I'm doing like that. Haram. Type somebody prayed to God. He said, oh God, Ya Allah, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Rabbi Aghfir, Ya Rabbi Aghfir. Not allowed to act like Hindu or Buddha. That's shi' min ibadatihim. Let's make dua. So let's kneel like the way we put you guys here, the way the church is. Not allowed. ولذلك مثلا تجد الفقهاء كانوا يقولون يحرم قراءة القرآن and you start doing like this. If you read in the books of أداب القراءة النووي وغيره, they mention that is not allowed. Can anybody tell me why? Because that's how Jews pray when they recite the Torah. Madrasa will be angry at me. Because it's very common, like in madrasa, they like do like this. But now it became not only a culture. When you see it, you don't think of a Jew, you think of a Muslim, because his setting is different setup. But in the old days, ulama, al-Quran were very strict actually about it. And this is not allowed. So this kind of imitation is not allowed. But common things. Like we all raise our hand to pray. Khalas, I'm not gonna raise my hand now. You see what I'm saying? Anyway, also this hadith shows you the importance of being attached to Allah in all your situation. Yeah, subhanAllah, food and drinking is one of the most private thing. And the most special, it's my food, man. But still, Allah will be mentioned first. I'm hungry, but Allah comes first. I said, Bismillah. I finish, I say, Alhamdulillah. How many times you eat a day? How many times you drink a day? And every time you eat and drink, say, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah. That makes the heart so attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And يعني من نعمة الله سبحانه وتعالى that Allah سبحانه ordained that. So this also reminds you of being grateful to Allah سبحانه وتعالى and thankful to Him every time you eat and you drink. طيب, also one thing here, يا أخواني and يا أخواتي, my brothers and sisters, if an Islam forbade us or told us not to imitate the shaytan in the way the shaitan eats and drinks, don't you agree with me, Yusuf, that it is more prior that we don't imitate the shaitan in bigger issues? Like what? Shaitan known to be what? Has envy, hatred. He hates you. He hates others. He's so arrogant, I'm better than him. So full of envy toward. He basically kufr, fisq, shaitan loves to disobey Allah. No limitation. He doesn't want to be controlled by rules. يَرُدُّ الشَّرْعِ لِلْرَأِيِ. He will reject what Allah said because it didn't make sense to him. He said, I am better. I was created from fire and he from mud. But then قال ابن سيرين, قال أول من رد الشرع بالرأي إبليس. The first one ever rejected and basically rejected the Sharia based on opinion was Iblis. He said, I am better than him. Allah told him, make sujood to Adam. He said, I'm better than Adam. I was created from fire, he's from mud. Which is also a very, يعني, wrong things, because who said that fire better than mud? Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah shows that mud better than fire from maybe 20 different ways, rahimahullah. Anyway, but going back to the point, so if we're not allowed to imitate the shaitan in eating and drinking, we should not imitate the shaitan in these things more prior. Awla wa awla. Alaysa kadhalik? Isn't that the important? As shaitan lead people to hellfire, we should not lead people to hellfire. We should not encourage people to do what's haram. We should not facilitate things which is haram to people. As shaitan is the friend of every evil wrongdoers, and he hates every righteous person. Don't imitate the shaitan. Don't be always like to hang out with the fasaq, with the kuffar, with the people who hates truth. And I don't mean this the kuffar in a non-Muslim. No, I mean the people who hates religion, hate morality. And you always like to be in that environment and you feel like you can't stand being in a clean, good environment. A shaitan, when he hears the Quran, run away. Don't be like that. So when we say don't imitate the shaitan, it will be so sad that we only think about eating and drinking and we don't look at the big picture. And that's something to be kept in mind. Next hadith. قال عن عمر بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كل واشرب يا سلام والبس وتصدق من غير صرف ولا مخيلة. أخرجها أبو داود وأحمد وعلقه البخاري. Amr Shu'ayb narrated in the authority of his father, on the authority of his grandfather, which is Amr bin As, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, eat, drink, wear clothes, and give charity, sadaqah, but with neither extravagance nor arrogance. Reported by Abu Dawood and Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala. Abu Dawood here, just for the record, it should be Abu Dawood al-Tayalisi, and it's a very yuhim ka'annahu Abu Dawood sahib al-Sunan, and it's not Abu Dawood the Sunan Abu Dawood, the famous one. No, it's his name Abu Dawood al-Tayalisi. It's another book. And he doesn't have Sunan, he has Musnad. He has Musnad. Also reported by Nasa'i wa Ibn Majah wa Ahmad, okay, with another addition, which is إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ أَنْ يَرَى أَثَرَ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ, that Allah loves to see the impact of His blessings on His servant. Allah loves that. So eat and drink and wear clothes and give without extravagance or arrogance or pride. Allah loves to see the impact, the result of the blessings that He has given you on you, on your lifestyle. Okay, Al-Bukhari rahimahullah reported this hadith as well, but without confirmation. He didn't say, he said the Prophet. As-saraf min al-israf wa huwa diddu al-qasd wal-i'tidal min ghayri sarafin, yani you extravagance, you go beyond the limit, okay? You extravagance in English, correct me if I'm wrong, extravagance is a very referring to things which is very materialistic, that's right. But the saraf in Arabic language is more wider than extravagance. It's like exaggerations, going beyond the limit. Because yusrif fil kalam, yusrif fil hub, yusrif fil bughd, كل هذا لا يجوز من غير صرف. You should not have israf. Yani you go beyond the limit. And that include what? Don't talk too much. Don't love too much. Don't hate too much. Don't give too much. You go beyond the limit, beyond what is wise, beyond what's correct. How can you love too much? How can you love too much? Come on, don't act like you don't do it. She tells you, do this. You tell her, but that's not right. Come on. I'll do it. Yeah, you know it's not right. You know she knows it's haram, but because she loves you so much, and you tell her, please, she will listen to you. She loves you too much that she will do the wrong thing. That's not right. You know what? There is some people love someone so too much in a negative way, that they became obsessive. Have you heard of a stalker? Yeah, looks like you had one. Stalker, that's too much. Suffocating you. That's israf al-hub. That's not correct. Also with the kids, sometimes you worry too much. Also, you care for the money too much. You became in the abstinence and so forth. Right. So that's why extravagance, I'm correct, extravagance is something related to very material. It doesn't, does extravagance cannot be described things like this, talking too much or like, sorry? Yeah, it doesn't work. So israf is a very big word. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ, Allah does not like those who make israf. So israf, going beyond the limit, beyond what is wise, is not allowed in any phase, in any scenario, in any circumstances. إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. التبذير, it is when you go beyond the limit when it comes to the money. You waste the money. So it's khas, it's a smaller circle. It has to do with the, specifically with the money. You waste the money. They are the brothers of the devils. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Al-makhyala comes from al-khuyala. You think you're so big. You think you're so different than others. You think you are bigger than others. Deserve more than others. لذلك إيش سماها الشرع أو سماها في اللغة مخيلة. Anybody knows where this comes from? Do you know any word related to the word مخيلة؟ خيلاء, خ khayal. Have you heard this word before? What's khayal? Imagination. The word khayal. So makhyala, which it means arrogance, originally come from imagination. Why? Because arrogant people imagine themselves something which is not true. The word is so powerful in Arabic language. It's so describe really the situation that they are in. They have their own world. They think like way, they are so different, they're best. Anyway, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تصدق, give. Here, التصدق هنا يرجع إلى الصدقة النافلة. The charity is not the zakat. Okay. What we learn from this hadith? This hadith exactly goes with what the Quran said. يا بني آدم خذوا زينتكم عند كل مسجد وكلوا واشربوا ولا تسرفوا إنه لا يحب المسرفين بسورة الأعراف. Eat and drink and do not exceed, do not have israf. Allah does not like the musrifin. Same thing that Allah said in the Quran, the hadith said. Also here, don't go beyond the limit. Question, how can we know the limit? Don't go beyond the limit. Where is the line draw? How would we, israf, it means you go beyond the limit. So how do you know I'm crossing the limit? The limit knows by three things. That's important. Shara. The Sharia tell you that's the limit. You're not allowed to do more than this. Anything you do beyond this is not allowed. Haram. Number two, aql, common sense. Number three, urf, custom, culturally. Okay? So, in Sharia, anything that Sharia defined as a forbidden haram, that's israf. If you were in Las Vegas, for example, and you only give $1 to slide machines, that's israf and haram. That's because you spend the money beyond the limit. Gambling is haram. You see what I'm saying? You buy something haram. You buy for yourself a gold bracelet, haram. That's israf. Even if it's $10, Allah had discount on it. It's not allowed to buy. The next one is common sense. بالعقل كده. Something worth $1 and you buy for it like $100,000. It makes no any sense. Or I tell you, wallahi Sheikh, I just came, mashallah, from, you know, Egypt. And I brought from you not only the Nile River water, I brought you the Egyptian air. Brother Azim al-Din was in Egypt last week, and he brought with him a balloon filled with air from Egypt. Just open. You know, he's selling it, by the way, in the office. $5, just one breath. That's $5 israf, common sense. It's a polluted air. I mean, nobody. It's a common sense. Don't do that. Israf, that's beyond the limit. Also, culturally, it's beyond the limit. So, for example, I go and I rent a hall for $100,000 to do a wedding. Is that israf? We look to the culture. Is that how the rent price for hotels like this? Yes. But if you tell me, like this Muslim family, 2 years ago, they made a wedding in Hilton, in downtown, they spent $2 million in the wedding. That's israf. When every guest gets a $40,000, like, or you buy a shoes for a $1.5 million because it has, you know, diamonds, that's Islam, no matter how rich you are. It's a common sense, culturally that's not right. Also, we'll talk next week more about this, but I just want you to understand something about culture. في عرف خاص وعرف عام. Culture and custom, there is general one and there is specific one. So rich people, they have their own culture, their own standard. Don't compare yourself to them. My income is less than $100,000, but this man's income is $2 million. Or $1 million. So when he goes and rent a hall for $100,000, for him that's nothing. For him buying a car with $100,000, it's normal. But for someone like somebody else who's like, you know, making $50,000 or $60,000 a year, that's not in your ilf acceptable. So make sure that also you understand, so you don't accuse, because I heard like somebody tell me, oh, sister so-and-so, she always acted religious in the masjid, Sheikh Waleed. Do you know that her daughter's wedding was like cost $100,000? I said, yeah. Do you know that her husband make about $1.7 million? Wow. Yeah, for him, like $100,000, no. So don't compare. It's not Isra. Let's pray, inshallah, and maybe after Salat al-Isha, we will mention a few points, and next week we start with a new chapter.